Thanks so much for tuning into this podcast, produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas. For more information on KUT programs and to support the station, go to KUT.org. And thanks again.
Like the five of us up here, you all came out not having any idea what this show was about, and right. We deeply appreciate it. If you don't already, my name is Reeve Hamilton.
I'm Ben Philpott. I just wanted, this is a pilot. We're going to try this out, see what works, see what doesn't. One thing to help us tonight, I think, it would be really good if we go ahead and institute a three-drink minimum. so we can take a minute and let y'all go get some shots. Oh, good. Everyone's already had three drinks. Okay, so...
Should we introduce the panel?
Yes, let's introduce the panel.
All right.
Our guinea pigs.
On my left, ladies and gentlemen, the Austin American Statesman said that there's simply not a better songwriter in Austin, and that's counting all the folks from Lubbock. From the band Shiny Ribs, say hello to Kevin Russell.
Next to him, we've got the executive producer and co-creator of Amy Poehler's Smart Girls, which, according to the New York Times, is the, quote, one talk show that will never book a Kardashian. It's Meredith Walker.
And finally, a founder of Austin's annual Pachanga Latino Music Festival, which an attendee once told the Austin Chronicle was like, quote, a Mexican Chippendales review. It's Rich Garza. Now, in this game, we will ask each of you questions. You'll get 2 points for each right answer. But because it's our show and we believe that it's more important to be creative than it is to be correct, we will also just dole out style points, which we are calling bragging rights, throughout the show.
Since this is a storytelling quiz show, and in Texas, the home of the tall tale, all of our questions are going to be inspired by something that happened to our friend Jason Newlander, who you may know from the show Intergalactic Nemesis. This happened to him when he was playing Mother Ginger in the Austin production of The Nutcracker. Our story comes courtesy of Mike Lee, a producer at KUT, and here's the first part of our story tonight.
Listen carefully.
Here we go.
Basically, the way it worked was I was playing Mother Ginger, and I was assigned a special parking space to play Mother Ginger. And it was for a school matinee for third graders, and I was running a little bit late. I was running just on time, but I was counting on getting that right in front of the theater parking space to make it on time. And I had, my daughter was five, and I had her with me. And we pull up to pull in the spot, and this campus cop tells me I can't go there. And I'm like, but look, I'm playing Mother Ginger, I'm in the show. If I park somewhere else, I'm gonna be late for my call. You can't go there. So I thought about it for half a second, and then I decided kind of impulsively, heck, this guy's just a campus cop. What the hell can he do? So I pull around him and kind of pull into the spot, figuring once I hit home base, A, it's home base, I'm safe. And B, the Ballet Austin staff will, in fact, vouch for me, which they did. But it turns out that campus cops at the University of Texas are state of Texas police officers with the authority to issue citations and tickets that actually go to court. You go to court. So he issued me a ticket. I went to court over it because I thought the whole thing was garbage. The whole thing was dismissed. But unbeknownst to me, that same day, after he issued me a ticket to my face, he issued an affidavit saying that I was recklessly driving. But I didn't know this. So I'm going through the court system to take care of my one ticket. In the meantime, it appears that I have evaded my court appearance on the other thing, and a warrant is put out for my arrest. So when I go to renew my driver's license, I come out and I see these two county sheriffs, and I'm like, huh, they must be here to arrest somebody. And I kind of nod and smile to the officers as I'm leaving, and one of them says, are you Jason Newlander? And I'm like, huh, isn't that funny? Somebody recognized, they must go to Salvage Vanguard theater shows. And I said, yes, and they said, you're under arrest. And I didn't even know what for real.
All right.
And I kind of put two and two together.
Was there more? Sorry. No,
together after the fact. But I went to jail for a day.
I went to jail for a day. Sorry, folks, I cut that off.
Way to step on that.
I know, darn.
It's our first time.
We'll be perfect the second time.
All right, anyway, we'll get back to Jason in a bit. But now we have our first question, and Meredith, as a fellow native of Houston, I thought I'd direct this one to you. Can you fill in this sentence? When the first blank debuted in Houston in 1925, it included a palatial ladies' room, boasted showers, dressing rooms, writing tables, and a homey fireplace for cool days.
Remember now, these questions are based loosely on the story, which means they barely have anything to do with the story. But something from the story does relate to this question.
And you guys can feel free to jump in and help her. Obviously, Kevin.
25?
Yeah, you wouldn't remember it.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah. This was 80 or so years before you were born.
Hey, and everybody grab their microphone and pull it up a little closer.
Like this.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like sweaty balls right here.
Kevin, you've been all over the state. Does that sound like any place you've been?
Yes, a women's prison.
What did it have? Say it again, please. Right.
When the first blank debuted in Houston in 1925, it included a palatial ladies' room that boasted showers, dressing rooms, writing tables, and a homey fireplace for cool days. You want me to give you the answer? You went to women's prison. Rich, you can try to steal the answer from her.
Are you going to steal it?
No.
That's not a good way to start.
It's bad quality.
Anyway.
But it's the palatial ladies' room and the fireplace.
Well, you got to think about what the story was about.
Yeah, I know. Vanguard Theater. I want to say theater.
So that's your final answer.
It is theater.
No.
Well, no.
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 Thanks for the tip.
The answer is parking garage.
Parking
That's
garage.
That's rude.
I bring a parking garage.
I don't have any of that stuff anymore.
They don't.
It was called an automobile hotel at the time. It also included a filling station, an accessory store, and cleaning establishment for servicing the vehicles, and luxurious accommodations were provided for weary travelers.
Yeah. Now, the best I get is there's a parking garage downtown that'll wash your car once a week if you pay the money, but that's about it.
No, I often park and don't feel like going into work and would love to rest up for a bit.
Next to a fire.
I felt that way when I parked to try to come here tonight. All right.
All right, well, let's try our second question here. Who is this going to?
It says right there on the card that it's obviously going to Kevin.
Kevin, all right. Kevin, now, of course, it's a great honor to be asked to play Mother Ginger in Ballet Austin's Nutcracker. Speaking of honors, Kevin, can you tell me who in 1971 the Texas legislature passed a resolution honoring for their, quote, unconventional techniques involving population control? Oh, somebody knows the answer. Don't yell it out yet.
Yeah, don't yell it yet. Population control.
What do you think of the stars of the 70s?
Yeah. 1971, population control. What did they do?
They were honored.
Well, that's sort of giving it away. I mean,
yeah, well.
Like,
they were honored.
Nice try, Kevin.
I was going to fall for it. I don't know.
No.
It had to be Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Oh.
Either of you have any thoughts about population? Rich, well, obviously at the festival that you run.
Well, does Nutcracker and population control, do those have anything to do with each other in this context, or have we moved on?
They can decrease the surplus population. Yes, that does.
I actually don't know. Well, it'll become evident at some point, but I don't know this person's precise methods. It might. But no, that's not a hint.
I sort of know this answer.
Well, then I guess you could sort of.
Yeah, you can steal it.
You could sort of steal it.
But can I sort of try?
Yeah. Is it going to be sort of like you did on the last one?
Well, we'll see who's still on my Facebook friend list when this is over with.
No. Hey,
no. It was a dude.
Yes, all right, she got it.
Ding, ding, ding.
No, but he was. I know this. I actually know this. He was a murderer,
And they sneaked this in, sneaked, not snuck, which should be a point. and they sneaked this in to try and show that lawmakers did not read everything. And he was a murderer.
I think she gets the point.
She gets both points. Wow.
His name was Evan Russell.
Yeah. The answer is Albert DeSalvo. And I will give one quick bonus point to anybody who can say what his nickname was.
Boston Strangler.
Well, you get a point for being able to hear what the audience says. Very good. Yes, he was the Boston Strangler.
All those years of music haven't hurt your ears too much, I guess.
Now my hearing is excellent.
The resolution was by Waco Representative Tom Moore. He pulled down the resolution after it passed on, I would assume, second reading, saying that he filed it as a joke to prove that lawmakers don't do their due diligence on legislation. And of course, we don't have anything like that happen now at the Capitol at all.
No way.
Actually, he started a long-running tradition, I believe.
Of making fake?
No, of just not paying attention.
Well, yes, that's right.
All right, Ben brought up Mother Ginger, but Rich, I would like to talk with you, as we usually do, about Ginger Rogers, who, as of course you know, spent her youth in Fort Worth attending what was then called Central High School. Of course, you know that.
Do now.
Later on, she made a mark on Texas politics when Ann Richards, while discussing the role of women in politics in her famous 1988 Democratic National Convention speech, said, "If you give us a chance, we can perform. After all, Ginger Rogers did everything Fred Astaire did. She just..." Can you complete that sentence?
Oh, the audience knows, I think.
No, this is not one you can help him on. Boston Strangler.
Yeah,
Boston Strangler.
She did it twice as good.
Oh, ooh.
No, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. That's not any more. It's not any less wrong than the thing we gave Meredith the points for on the last round. But because he should know,
enlighten me, please.
Well, I bet the smart girls know it.
We do.
Okay. You guys can steal. Kevin, you want to?
She just did it backwards and in high heels.
Sorry, that's wrong. No, that's it.
She just didn't do it. Actually, that's right. Here's a little. Didn't you know that Ginger Rogers' mother was a theater critic for the Fort Worth Record? That's just written on the card. There's no reason for you to know that.
I wrote that note to myself
at some point.
All right, so this is going to be the last question of round one. It's a grab bag. Anyone pretty much has answered the previous ones, but anyone can jump in. This is not directed to anyone for a first shot. So here we go. You heard Jason question whether or not a campus cop was qualified to arrest him. Well, speaking of qualifications, Lady Teresa Toms, a self-described international evangelist and a real estate agent who is also running for the State Board of Education, that's right, at a recent forum, she said that her opponent, Eric Maroom, was too inexperienced for the position of state school board because his only experience in management was acquired doing what? No.
Now, do you guys have any sense of what qualifications are required to get onto the State Board of Education? I'm going to take a stab at that before you get around to answering the question if you want.
Be a creationist.
That's one, yes. What's the next?
First, right?
All right. Anyone else?
I think that's it.
All right, well, you each have to answer. And the thing is, one of you will get the points no matter what.
That's right. One of you is going to give a creative answer, and we're going to give a point to him. So he was too inexperienced because his only management position was acquired doing what?
I'm stumped.
What is something that would You've been, as someone who has frequent been to many establishments throughout Texas, what is the most incompetent thing you've seen someone do, and where was it? Maybe that was the place.
Oh.
Maybe that was the guy.
Yeah, well, as a music promoter.
Music promoter?
Yeah,
okay.
It would be a music promoter.
All right, music promoter. Meredith.
Well, considering that she's the one who said it,
right.
I would say he probably only had experience managing, like, MIT graduates.
He was one of those ivory tower people, huh?
Right.
Yeah, that's no good. We
God
don't want
forbid.
That.
That's my concern.
All right, Rich.
Was he a school principal?
That would make him totally unqualified. I think classroom teacher is the only other least less qualified position. No, actually, the answer is he was, well, she claimed that he was a manager at Chuck E. Cheese.
And in fact, he actually set the record straight. He was not a manager at Chuck E. Cheese. He was a Chuck E. Cheese regional trainer.
That's right. He trained the managers at Chuck E. Cheese.
So who should get that point?
Who should? Well, what do you think?
All right. The audience has spoken. We're giving it to Rich.
All right. Well, I think we should take a break. What do y'all think?
Well, we need to tally the scores. Can any of you do anything while we tally the scores?
Well, before we do, I'd like to just find out something real quick. Why are there two hosts?
Well, I
we both want to quit our day job. I don't know.
I like to think of Ben as the Brian Dunkelman to my Ryan Seacrest. Which, if you don't get that joke, that's sort of the point.
I can play a song.
Can you play a song? All right, let's play a song.
Well, that was convenient.
Yeah, where did this come from? This is Steve Fromhol's song. Let's do one for Steve. May he rest in peace. I have to be crazy to stop all my singing, never play music again. Hey, I was a fool to pick up a top hat, run out, flag down the wind. Have to be weird to grow me a beard just to see what the rednecks would do. But have to be crazy, plumb out of my mind, to fall out in love with you. I know I've done weird things, told people I heard things. Silence was all around. Been days when it pleased me to be on my knees, following ants as they crawl across the ground. I've been insane on a train, but I'm still me again, and the place where I hold you is true. So I know I'm all right, 'cause I'd have to be crazy to fall out in love with you. You know I don't intend to. But if there'll come a day when I say I don't love you, they probably lock me away. Have to be dingy to live in an envelope while waiting alone for a stamp. You'd swear I was loco to rub for a genie while burning my hand on the lamp. And I may not be normal, but nobody is. And
And I'd like to say before I'm through, I'd have to be crazy, plumb out of my mind, to fall out of love with you. I'd have to be crazy, plumb out of my mind, to fall out of love.
Kevin Russell.
All right, if you guys have not seen Shiny Ribs perform live, that should be your next show.
Absolutely.
They're really the best band around.
Aww.
Before we move on to the second round, I think we should check back in with Jason to see what happened to him.
Did you stay overnight?
I didn't, but I was scared I was going to. It was a very scary experience. I was locked in my own cell with no contact with the outside world. At the time, you couldn't call cell phones from jail. So, and of course they take, well, it was crazy. I was in the waiting room and I was in my, you know, regular clothes and everything, of course. And it was like 8:30 in the morning and I'm like waiting. And so the cop that brought me to the jail told me that I would be out, you know, in a couple hours, no big deal. Well, a couple hours went by and they called my name. They lined me up with some other people against the wall and then they walked me into this other room. And then they told me to take off every article of clothing that I had. They issued me jail clothes, which are black and white striped uniform, no underwear. And then I was taken up to the elevator in cuffs and moved through like some hermetically sealed doors. And then suddenly you're in this big atrium and it's this two-story room with jail cells lining it. And it's like you're in jail with no windows, like you are cut off from the outside world. And you couldn't call cell phones. You could only call numbers, of course, that you'd memorize because you didn't have your, you know, date book on you or anything. And so I go to call home and for some reason it won't let me call home. And which I find out afterward, I thought they had blocked me from calling home, but it turns out that we have VoIP, you know, phone, voice over internet protocol. We don't have a regular landline. So their system didn't work with that either. But it was a crazy, scary day. But a friend of mine, this is a true story, a friend of mine works in government, and when I told him the story, he actively worked to change the law and the system or whatever to make sure that you can, in fact, call cell phones, collect from jail. And now, today, if I were arrested again, I can call cell phones. So there's a happy ending.
So people who get arrested in Texas have you to thank for that.
They do. They do. And that is a true story.
There are a couple of things that jump out at me about that. One, I'm surprised they still use those old school, like, Hamburglar black and white striped.
I know, it's crazy.
And the other is that you thought that this deputy sheriff might be a fan of avant-garde theater.
I know.
And therefore, a fan of you.
I know. Isn't that pathetic? That's my giant ego at work. That's true. Yeah.
All right. Thanks again to Jason and Mike for sharing that with us. You heard Jason having some difficulty there making a telephone call. So let's jump in. Telephones will be our first question. To Kevin, who is believed to have installed the first telephone in Texas back in 1878 and in what city?
You get bonus points if you can name the first telemarketer to call during dinner.
Right.
1878. That's a huge difference from 1868.
Yeah. Who would you have said if it was 1860?
Richard Nixon. I would have said Richard Nixon, but...
There's a building on campus named after this person. That only narrows it down to about 150 people.
Daryl K. Royal. Oh, that's 1968.
Sorry. All right.
His name is Frank the Tower.
Yes, the Tower. He's a great man. His wife loved him. Sorry.
Gee. 1878. It would have to have had been in
In Houston, Texas, I'm thinking it would be in Houston, right?
Because of the parking garages that were
because of the parking garages and the women's prisons. The parking garages at women's prisons.
They're calling each other all the time.
That's right.
Let's say
you can give a job title if you don't want to give a name.
Yeah, let's say the mayor of Houston.
All right, those
Why don't you give a name just because? You can make it up.
You get Mayor Smith.
You get style points.
Mayor Lamar T. Jackson.
You get the point.
That's
anyone else have a guess?
No. That's a great answer.
I can tell you that every bit of that answer was wrong.
Yeah. Every bit was wrong. The answer is actually newspaper magnate A.H. Bielow, which Bielow Building is where KUT is and KUTX is housed. He had the line installed between his home and the Galveston Daily News, which he owned. Did anyone know Galveston?
But we'll give you the points if you can tell us what A.H. stood for. wasn't Lamar Jackson. And anyone else can jump in and steal this from him.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you a
spin. No.
Or you can just whisper the answer.
Alfred Hiram.
Alfred is right.
Alfred's right.
It's half a point. Give me half a point.
Alfred Horatio.
Is that a whole point?
Yeah.
Bielow, of course, went on to become the founder of the Dallas Morning News, and then his descendants then squandered that fortune by giving it to UT to build a building. So,
a building that only the sort of the most questionable of workers work in, I believe.
That's right. The drive-by media works there, I believe.
Yeah, it's where KUT.
Has anyone
is
here
housed.
Been to KUT yet in the new building? No. It's a great place. Great building. Yeah.
All right.
He didn't pay for that, by the way.
Rich, you heard Jason. What was that? You heard Jason talking about having to remove his clothes, which made me think of sort of humility and humbleness, which made me think of the town, Humble, Texas, which, of course, is the birthplace of millionaire, playboy, aviator, and film producer Howard Hughes. Now we see why I'm directing this question at you. What item of clothing is Hughes often credited with inventing while directing The Outlaw, which was released in 1943? It was long after A.H. Bielow had his telephone installed.
Whoa.
What are you wearing today? Maybe that,
Yeah.
Who are you wearing for this big event?
That's right. I believe he's got an Air Jordan jacket. Should we maybe say who the star of the film was?
It's not on the card.
Okay.
It was a female star.
Yeah, female star. Female piece of clothing.
That changes things.
Yeah.
That just
I don't know why you told him that.
Yeah, you just narrowed it down.
No? Really?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, it's obvious now.
Well, I know it's not Spanx.
It's not Spanx, no.
So I'm just going to wear it. It's like the SAT. I'm going to work backwards from there.
Rich Garza's patented history of women's clothing.
So it's not, if it's not, I mean, it's the one-piece bodysuit?
Ooh. That's not correct.
Adult onesie. adult onesie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, I think that's coming back.
Right. It is. No, I got one on.
Yeah.
Meredith, do you have any idea what it could be?
Well, I could see the movie poster right now.
No, you can't.
I mean, in my head, I see it. Because she laid in the 70s, didn't she do Playtex?
This was 1943.
She did, yes.
I know, but she did Playtex bra commercials.
Oh, she.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a bra. Do I have to say this?
Is it the underwire bra?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
And he gets the point.
Push-up bra.
Very good. The push-up bra.
So we'll give that point to Rich.
He deserves it.
Yeah, the answer is the push-up bra, which he designed for Jane Russell. It is on the card. That's great. Though, unbeknownst to Hughes, she didn't actually wear what she later called the, quote, ridiculous contraption, because it was too painful.
Now it's, of course, extremely comfortable, right? Huh? Am I right? No?
Okay. Mine doesn't bother me at all.
All right, Meredith, this one's for you. As far as crime and punishment goes, a former Texas soldier named James H. Turner has a store even more story more ridiculous than Jason's. In 1872, he was sentenced to 3 years in the penitentiary for what crime?
What I love about this question is that there's no way you're going to get it. It's absolutely impossible. We got this.
Sure?
Yes. We got this from the 1977 edition of the Lone Star Book of Texas Records.
Yes.
It was listed as the most unusual offense. Well, on the other hand, you might get it.
Can I give a hint?
No.
Can't give a hint? No. What's the most unusual crime you've ever committed?
Well, it might not be unusual to some people.
Yeah.
But can I have any kind of category? I know some unusual things that can get you put in jail.
No, just so tell us some of those, and then we'll see where you need help, and we'll sort of guide you to the answer.
A litany of horrible things. That's what they're up.
Bathing cap on Sunday.
Yeah, you cannot use a short-handled hoe.
Well, this is a family show.
And that's hoe, not. You may not do that. And you may not milk another man's cow.
Are you talking about me specifically or the general you?
I will say that this person probably did neither one of those things.
Yeah. No, this person did neither of those things.
All right.
This person
or neither.
Did.
Now you're confusing me.
This person did very little.
He what?
This person did very little.
Okay.
Why are you helping her?
No, because he's a nice man. He did not. He did very little, but he was sentenced to 3 years in jail in 1872.
Before the telephone came to Texas.
He didn't get to make his call.
No. Because everyone had VoIP.
Everyone had VoIP, and it wouldn't work. That's right.
Did it involve a sexual act?
No, he didn't do that either, actually.
No.
Yeah, he wasn't really doing it.
He did nothing, really.
Well, did he receive?
Yeah. His cow was milked by another man.
Okay.
Hence the adult onesie.
Did he?
No.
No, he did.
How am I going to get a point off this?
No.
Not
you have to come up with an answer.
All right. He pooped in his pants.
I don't, you know,
actually,
that might be like one sort of thing he did.
He could have done that.
Does anyone else want to, Rich, you want to venture a guess? What's the most criminal act you've committed?
I'll take the fifth.
It's all off.
No,
the
that's
record,
something this guy would have done.
This is like one of those like wacky, like, you know,
trick.
Highlights for kids kind of.
Oh, you've seen my library.
He stole a donkey.
Stole a donkey. Well, no, that would require actual involvement in something.
So what is the answer?
The answer is he went to 3 years into jail for worthlessness. He was found to be totally unfit in deportment and character for a soldier due to general worthlessness, which apparently consisted of lying. So actually, these are the things he actually did. Lying, stealing, drinking intoxicating liquors. And
well underway, by the way.
And other persistent meanness.
He later became a member of Congress.
That's right. That's right. They get you elected to office now.
And got reelected 17 times.
Right. No, that's not true. None of that. Well, everything up until the Congress thing was true.
It was 15 times.
changed his name to Ralph Hall.
Yeah.
About the same age, probably. All right, here's your grab bag question. So all three of you have to come up with an answer to this one. Are you ready? So listen carefully. This is also on the topic of weird crimes, which means it really has nothing to do with the radio piece we heard, other than that it's something someone could get arrested for. Okay. All right. I have a feeling you guys will get this one.
Oh, yeah.
In 1973, the Texas legislature added a law making it illegal to possess six or more what? And audience, don't help.
And these are things,
I know you guys know this.
Yeah, these are things that would be...
Don't, you don't need to help them
no,
yet.
No, no, I'm just going to say they would be legal if you only had five.
Yeah, that is implied.
But
in
when
the
you hit six...
It's not panelists.
What year was this?
1973, but it's still on the books.
Still on the books.
1973, still on the books.
Yeah.
Really?
So it's one of those laws we've decided
although
to keep
around.
Although
there are lots of crazy things still on the books, but.
Six or more.
Six or more.
Offensive lineman.
That's a good one.
That was a good answer. I'm going to give you a little checkpoint.
Six or more.
Rich, you have another one?
Fingers.
You know?
That
too. Give him another. That's
good. Rich is about to have six or more points.
On one hand.
What?
On one hand.
Oh.
That would be. Yeah. I would clarify that. Digits.
Yeah, digits. Yeah. Or teeth.
Yeah, six or more teeth. Well, no, this is 1973, not 1873.
I get those confused.
Yeah.
Six or more banjos, ukuleles at all.
Would you be off to jail now if that were the case?
No, I wouldn't.
he follows the law. He's got five.
I don't have a banjo. I don't know anything about a banjo. What are you talking about?
You've carefully steered clear of the excessive banjo provision.
I don't know why you're suggesting such a thing.
All right, Meredith, with you, you're the only one we haven't had an answer for.
Six or more, because if you have six or more, you might.
No, shush.
Okay, I'm here. He's not as nice as me. I don't know.
I believe in competition. That's why I moved to Texas.
Did you get a grant to do that? Did you get an enterprise fund grant to do that? He was doing this in Boston, and Governor Perry said, hey, I'll give you $5 to come do it in Texas.
Sold. All right, six or more answers would be great.
All right, gosh.
You got just throw out one. We've already given all the points to Rich.
That's right.
All right, then six or more condoms in your wallet.
Oh, that is so close. We're gonna give you some points. All right, when we were planning the show, I said I didn't actually want to read the answer, so I'm gonna have Ben read the answer.
All right, so the answer is. My mom and dad are in the audience tonight. Hi, Mommy. I can't read it. Rebecca will read it.
Come on, Ben.
Wait.
Come on, Ben. Just say it.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, dildos.
There's more to it than that.
Yeah, so.
I gotta go.
No, that's all right. So, you could have received credit for the answer if you'd said dildos or, of course, artificial vaginas. Any obscene device designed or marketed as useful primarily for the stimulation of human genital organs.
That's banjo.
Mine goes on a genital organ. Yeah.
What?
My answer goes on a genital organ.
That's true.
Oh, that's good to know. Mark that down. Yes, it's believed that.
That's
it's
where they go.
I thought they went on bananas. That's all I've seen.
If you have that many, it's presumed that you are possess them with the intent to sell or promote. Yeah.
Promote. That's the big thing, yes.
People are no longer prosecuted under that statute.
Clearly the Fleshlight people have outstanding legal counsel.
Yes. Made here in Austin, that's right.
All right, now that you all... Actually, well, we'll see if you all how many points you each have. In the meantime, Kevin, since you did that so well before, can you do it again?
Yabba dabba doo. Good morning, my darling. I'm telling you this to let you know that I'm sorry to sit. Tears of sorrow will not do you no good. I'll be your doctor if only I could. What do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I'll buy you all that your belly can hold. You can be sure you won't suffer no more. I swim the ocean or the deepest canal to get to you, darling, just to make you well. There's no place on earth I would not hasten to go to cure the fever, this I want you to know. What do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I buy you all that your belly can hold. You can be sure you won't suffer no more. If only the doctor would just hurry and show. There's quite a few places I know we can go. I was okay, but these are words from you. Stayed in your sick, they made me sick too. What do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I buy you all that your belly can hold. You can be sure you won't suffer no more. Promise me, darling, that you won't die. I'll get all the medicine money can buy. Stick with me, baby, hold on and fight. And take a good rest, I won't prolong your flight. What do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I'll buy you all that your belly can hold. You can't be sure you won't suffer no more. What do you want from the liquor store? Sure you won't suffer no more.
Kevin Russell.
Wow, wow.
All right. All right, before we start our final round, Ben, can you give us an update on where the scores stand?
Yes, we've got, for Kevin Russell, 6 points. For Meredith Walker, 9 points. And for Rich Garza, 8 points.
Wow.
All right. Now,
nail-biter.
I mean, this is probably the most thrilling thing that's happened here on a Tuesday night this week.
This week, that's right.
Yeah. All right. Now, this last round is going to be quicker, and it's entirely designed to see if you have been paying attention.
Oh, no.
Not just to the news, but to your surroundings.
Oh.
Are we ready to go? We're going to start with Kevin, since he is behind. Each question is worth 1 point, and we're going to try to answer them as quickly as possible. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm
this,
ready.
This question is happening in 2014.
Just 2014.
Yeah. Put you in the right mindset.
How long ago was
now,
that?
Now, on a poster, as you walked in the door of the Cactus Cafe, hanging outside the entrance, Robert Earl Keen wrote that the Cactus Cafe is the blank of music.
The jeweled crown of music.
The answer is onion. All right, next same question. Thing. Lieutenant Governor candidate Dan Patrick recently released a statement saying that Houston Mayor Anise Parker obviously did what as part of a larger strategy of hers to turn Texas into California?
She did what?
Exactly.
Yeah. What did he say she did as part of a larger strategy to turn Texas into California?
Texas and California. Oh, she married her partner.
That's correct.
Okay, right.
Yeah, nice.
Very good.
Which of your fellow musicians, because you guys all get together.
Yeah, right.
Every one of you.
Which of your fellow musicians was recently charged with a DUI, driving with an expired license, and resisting arrest in Miami Beach?
I don't consider him one of my contemporaries, but but I do think he's a nice young man, and I'm sure Canada has took him back with open arms. Justin Bieber.
Very good. Baylor University has officially offered Cordell Brodus a football scholarship. Who is Cordell's father?
Calvin.
That's correct. Calvin Brodus, also known as?
The big fundamental. I don't know.
Snoop Dogg.
Oh, right. Yeah.
How did you get Calvin and not...
That's a good one.
I didn't remember who Calvin Brodus was.
You've been following Baylor recruiting, I see.
Snoop Lion. It's Snoop Lion now, of course.
That's right.
That's right. That is right. Yep.
I'm going to give you a point for that.
Unless he's gone back.
All right. This is your final question. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Which barbecue joint did Texas Monthly name the world's best last year, in part because of its, quote, meaty pork ribs?
It's every hipster's favorite. Franklin's, right?
That's right.
Yep.
Where did the name Shiny Ribs come from?
Franklin himself gave me the name. Yes.
All right, very good.
Let's move on to, very good, yes. Let's move on real quickly here to second place, Rich. Here's your first question. Which Austin radio station celebrated its first birthday party last month?
KUTX.
Sorry, say that again.
KUTX.
KUTX, that's correct. All right, now let's see here. Are you paying attention? Finish this Shiny Ribs lyric.
Well, actually it's a Stephen Frumholz lyric.
Okay, Stephen Frumholz lyric. Have to be crazy, plumb out of my mind.
To fall out of love with you.
Very good. All right. He's been paying attention. When is your wife, Elaine Garza's, birthday?
January 29th.
Hey.
Happy birthday, Elaine.
He gets a point with us and her, I believe. Who won the 2014 Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Television Comedy?
Oh, man. Ginger Rogers.
Ginger Rogers.
Close.
Woof.
She does everything that Lorne Michaels does, but just backwards and in heels.
That's right. The answer is Amy Poehler.
Okay.
So Meredith will talk to you about checking out their webpage a little more frequently. Who is going to, here's the final question, who is going to headline the 2014 Pechanga Latino Music Festival?
I would tell you, but Elaine, my publicist, won't let me.
Well, that's correct.
That's the correct answer. Yeah. The answer is it hasn't been announced yet. Very good. Yes.
All right.
Last round.
Meredith. This is, you could win if you get most of these right.
There we go.
You have a pretty good lead.
Thank you.
Ready? Who is the new Texas Longhorns football coach?
Ooh.
I know, but I just don't. I mean, I see him in my head, and he's nice.
It's not Ben.
It's Armstrong. It's Arm.
First name Arm.
It's Arm.
Nope.
No, all right, you got that wrong. We're going to give you half
strong,
a point.
It's Strong.
Yeah.
Mr. Coach Strong.
Coach. I think you were coached to stay strong.
Well, yeah. And he was welcomed with open arms.
Yeah. That's true.
That's good enough for me.
Charlie Strong.
This is a new question.
Yes, new question.
Which celebrity, a fellow musician of Kevin's, famously implied that there was a special place in hell for Amy Poehler and Tina Fey?
Taylor Swift, that little bitch. That was off the record.
No, that's all correct. All right.
We're totally recording this.
Stop associating me with these people.
You mentioned Christina Aguilera in one of your songs.
That wasn't the answer.
Yeah, I was just telling you, in case you forgot. All right, which conservative talk show host has recently been invited to relocate to Texas by Governor Rick Perry and others?
Oh. Do I have to say things like this?
I mean, we've already had
a Dan Patrick reference. Gobe, by the way, is his real last name, and he's from Scranton.
He's a true Texan, I believe. That's what his website says.
I just want to put that out.
But I'm very impressed with the way you keep up with Texas politics.
Well,
that's pretty insider.
People I hate.
We should just note that we are like their opinions, not our opinions.
That's exactly
I know.
Right.
I'm
yes.
sorry.
We
I'm
both
sorry.
Actually
I know.
Work as journalists, but
you know, come on. Wait, what was the question? My hate took over for a second.
Which conservative talk show host have Governor Rick Perry and others invited to relocate to Texas recently?
Right, Glenn Beck.
No.
Oh. He did. He's the whole Dallas thing.
That wasn't recently. That was like a year ago.
Glenn Beck has been a fellow Texan of Ben and mine for a couple of years.
Oh, Rush Limbaugh.
No. No, so you clearly don't know.
He can't actually get out of the chair to move anywhere, I don't think.
Right, but they would get a crane. And
no, they could get a crane.
Like they do on the shows where they
the answer.
People.
Let's move on.
I'll say it. It's another
stop.
One?
Stop. Yeah.
Okay, I'll stop. Go ahead.
Okay.
But he would be welcomed with open arms. We're told.
By Rick Perry.
What?
Wait a minute,
do question.
We give the name?
New question. What is the name?
Do we give the name? Sean Hannity.
Oh, Sean Hannity.
Oh, that. All right.
What is the name of the state representative who tricked the legislature into honoring the Boston Strangler in 1971 to prove they weren't paying attention?
We said it earlier. I just,
you know, it's like you and my dad are friends, and you don't even know it.
Mr. Walker, we hang out.
Father Walker.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The audience Thank knows you. That, too.
And my therapist does, too.
Do you want to just give up on this one?
No, you said it, and yeah. You actually said it. No,
I emphasized it just in case. Mm-hmm. It's as if I knew it was going to come back up again.
Which he didn't.
He was Hector Elizondo.
That's right. No, Tom Moore Jr. So you
from
didn't,
Waco.
You didn't get that point, but I bet you get this one. Texas Governor Rick Perry recently said he supports the decriminalization of what?
Whoa.
Marijuana.
Marijuana, that's correct.
That's correct. What'd you say?
Dildos.
And dildos.
That would be a good campaign message, I think.
I think you're going to see a lot of free the dildo signs at the next session.
When dildos are outlawed, only outlaws will have dildos.
Well, I think he gets a point for that.
All right.
Ben's blushing.
We need to tally the final scores. In the meantime, Rebecca, can you give us a little PSA update about what's coming up with Views and Brews?
Well, as I mentioned, next Tuesday night we have Steven Weinberg here, so please come out for that. It's going to be quite amazing. And then 2 weeks later, we will have a show with the Harry Ransom Center on their exhibit on World War I, so please come out for that. And we've got lots of great Views and Brews coming up, so be sure to check our website, that's KUT.org, and join us on Facebook if you're in that realm. We're at Views and Brews on Facebook. Let's see. Also, you can always send us an email at viewsandbrews@KUT.org if you feel so inclined. We would love it. We'd love to receive just one. Just one. But before I go, a very special thank you to all of our guinea pigs up here, Kevin Russell, Meredith Walker, and Rich Garza. Thank you, guys. You're fabulous. And, of course, to Reeve and Ben. Who have you quite tallied the scores?
All right, here are the scores. Let's see. In third place with 11 points, we have Kevin Russell. No, it's been a very tight game, actually. There's 1 point separating each person. I guess we should get a drum roll, please, for the second place person with 12 points. It's Meredith Walker.
What a comeback. That's
and the
all
winner,
I can say.
The winner somehow.
Somehow.
Is Rich Garza. 13 points.
What are we... Yeah.
So what does that mean? So who wins? Somebody wins something now.
We do. So here's what we got for people here. Let's see. Who's in the first place? The person who has Rich, you're going to get, and you need to come up here afterwards, you're going to get 2 tickets to the KUTX Day Stage at South by Southwest. The person who was playing with Meredith gets 2 tickets to a future
Cactus Cafe show. Two tickets to a show right here at the Cactus.
And then finally, the person who's got Kevin's name, you're going to get a KUT, KUTX swag bag that we can actually give to you tonight. Everyone else, it's just theoretical.
And everyone gets free tickets to Pechanga Fest. Oh, cute.
Everyone's a winner here. All right, we'd like to thank some people. We'd like to thank Kevin, Meredith, and Rich for coming out putting themselves through this thing.
Thanks to Dave Shaw, who was very helpful in coming up with the questions and script tonight.
Thank you to Rebecca for just being so helpful and letting us put this on.
Thanks to the Cactus Cafe for letting us come here. We hope to certainly do this again, folks, and we'll make sure you know about it. Beautiful. Not y'all. You're done.
You
Sorry.
Guys are done.
Can we go now?
And that's the show. Now everyone is free.
Thank you,
everyone, for coming out tonight. We really appreciate it. Have some more drinks and drive safe.
Thanks so much for tuning into this podcast produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas. For more information on KUT programs and to support the station, go to KUT.org. And thanks again.